Exodus chapter 27. I'm going to begin reading with verse 20. Moses wrote this book, and he's recorded what God has given him instructions to do with regard to building the tabernacle in the wilderness. Verse 20 says, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten, for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." Now, this lamp that he's talking about is called the menorah. It's made out of solid gold because it represents Jesus Christ. The menorah has seven different flames on it. The center staff is made out of one solid piece of wood. The center staff represents Jesus Christ, and there are six prongs on either side of it representing mankind by the number six. So he said, make sure that the olive oil is brought to cause the lamp to burn always. It could never go out in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. It means it was just a small room called the holy place outside of the Holy of Holies. This is where the menorah sat, and it was in fact the only source of illumination in the holy place. The entire tabernacle was covered with badger skins, if you can imagine a thick badger skin covering. And then you had this one chamber, no light could come in unless the menorah gave it. And so he said it should never go out. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. Just simply means that they had to go in every few hours and trim the wick and make sure that oil was in the vessel so that it would continually burn. It shall be a statute forever in the generation on behalf of the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning. We'd ask you first, Lord, that you would bless the families that give into this ministry. And Lord, that you'd give us as well wisdom to everything that we receive, that we promote the word and that we propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I come to you today asking you that you would take over my vessel, that you would speak through my lips, that you would anoint the ears of your hearers, that this engrafted word might fall deep into the heart. And help us, Lord, in this confusing time that we live in. We ask it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I ministered a message here entitled A Perverse Gospel. How the gospel has become perverse in this last hour, and many that take the word and twist it and pervert it out of its original setting, making it very confusing for people to really be able to grasp what does the word really say and what does it really mean. And we have that on our archives. You can go back and you can look at that 2 weeks ago. But today I want to minister on what tools you and I have, what the Holy Spirit, what God has given us, so that we don't fall prey to a perverse gospel. There are some people here in the room that you can just hear someone speak the scripture and you can hear the spiritual tone of it and know whether or not that is correct or whether or not that is incorrect. Jesus was saying over and over again, he that hath an ear. Well, all of us got ears. So he wasn't talking about the physical ear, but he that has a spiritual ear to hear the tune of the word of God. And so I want to start in the Old Testament because here we have the symbolisms, all the typology, and really everything in the tabernacle pointed to Jesus and the finished work. But I want to just slow down here and just kind of share with you what this menorah meant and why it was so important, not just 6,000 years ago, but even today, the spiritual menorah is important now. Now, as I said, the holy place was a small room outside of the Holy of Holies. And in this room, there was only three items in the room. There was just in front of the veil of the holy place, there was the altar of worship. It was a golden altar where the priest would come in and put incense, and the smoke of the incense would rise, representing the prayers of God, really representing Jesus's mediatorial role between man and God. Then on one side of the room, there was another table called the table of showbread. It was overlaid with gold, and it had 12 loaves of bread on it, which represents the bread of life, the word of God. Then adjacent to it on the other side of the room was this lamp that we're talking about, the menorah. Now, here's what you have to see, and this is not just, you know, the word doesn't just say this is this and this that. You have to be able to see what the symbolisms that God set up. If you walked into this pitch black room, and the showbread is sitting over here, the candlestick is lit. If you put the candlestick out, you could no longer discern the showbread. You could no longer see it. You could no longer discern it. Now, what does that mean to you and I? The candlestick is the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The showbread is the word of God. If the Holy Spirit is not illuminating this word, you're not going to see it as it really is. Paul had to make this straight because the Judaizers of his day, they would read the word, they would quote the word, they would act upon the word, but Paul had to tell them, listen, the letter killeth. It's the Spirit that makes it alive. And many times we find people that will just read the letter of this word and they apply with their human logic what they think that it means and they go straight out to left field. Because it takes the Holy Spirit, who is the leader, the guider, and the teacher, who is the sanctifier, to explain to you and I what he's the author of this word, what this word really means. Are you with me today? Now, it's important that we stick to the fundamentals of Christianity. See, we got all kind of stuff going on now. We got Facebook evangelists. That's not in the Word of God. That is not in the Word of God. I'm saying share your faith, but an evangelist is defined in the Word of God. And we do all kind of other things, and we have strayed away from the very fundamentals of what makes Christianity Christianity. There's two. There's prayer, and there's the study of God's Word. Those are the basics. Those are the staples of Christianity. If you don't have that, whatever you have is wrong. Man, it's quiet in here. and Christians typically do not like to pray. Are we going to be honest with ourselves this morning? We definitely don't like to study. And the thing is that Satan knows that if you begin to do those two things, to study and to pray, this word begins to open up, and now you are a threat to him. But as long as he can have you on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else saying, I love Jesus, he don't care about that at all. That is no threat to him at all. Because when you get the word of God in your heart and you're praying, the Holy Spirit will anoint you. He'll come upon you with the power of the Most High. Now you become a threat to Satan's kingdom. And so what does he do? He makes it difficult when you try to press into your word. He makes it difficult. When you try to pray, 1,000 things go across your mind that you have to, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this. And it veers us away from the path of just living by the basics, the staples of our Christian experience. And what happens is we do that so long until God told the book of Ephesus in Revelation, he said, you repent. He said, lest I move the candlestick out of its place. Which means suddenly you still have the letter of this word, but you can no longer discern the spiritual aspect of it. You see, you can read this word all day. For example, the Pharisees of that day, all they did was study the word. And they had a woman one time that they brought to Jesus. She was taken in adultery, right in the very act. And they threw her at Jesus' feet as he was teaching the crowds and said, the law, the word said, we kill her right now. But what do you say? And Jesus messed around with him a little while. He wrote on the ground. Incidentally, the same finger writing on the ground was the same finger that wrote Moses' commandments. But he messed around with him for a while. And then he said, whichever one of you has no sin, you throw the first stone. And from the oldest to the youngest, they began to drop their rocks. They was ready. They had to drop the stones. And they began to walk away. Now, this happened in front of the disciples, and everybody was there. They dropped their stones, and they walked away ashamed. And Jesus turned around to his disciples, and he said, I'm the light of the world. When this light illuminates you, you can discern which way you need to navigate on certain things. See, right now, you have people in the world that have read this book, and they are expert. They can take the very scripture that says that homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord, take that very scripture and promote homosexual with it. Has anybody ever run into that? You can take the very person that, man, you know you got a problem with alcohol, you got to stop drinking. Well, Jesus turned the water into wine. Expert at taking this book to create a thin veneer over their personal sin. And if you and I don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be able to counter it, because some of these folks are smart with the wisdom of this world. But the Holy Spirit can give you that illumination so that you're able to look right into that same scripture and say, not so. What about this? Now, I'm not promoting getting into an argument with these people. If somebody's made up their mind they want to go to left field, let them go to left field. Because the Holy Ghost is in left field too. And he'll chase them back. How many's ever, just be honest, how many's ever had some kind of personal sin in your life and you tried to justify it in some way? I've done it. But the Holy Spirit won't let that thing ride. He moves slow, but he would touch your reality at some point to let you know that is not the way. Seek for the old path. And when you find it, walk it. And you'll find rest for your soul. So then I want to talk today about the illumination that's provided by the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand the Word of God and what happens if we just do the church thing. Christianity is not the church thing. Christianity is not just come in and sing a few songs and listen to a sermon and shake a few hands and go home and be the same devil you was when you came in. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is a sanctifying power that changes you, not just day by day, but moment by moment. It is the Holy Spirit living on the inside telling you that's wrong. Don't go that way. Do this. Don't do that. It's your personal life coach. And so we have to put away the thought of, well, I go to church, so I'm good. No, you're not. Well, I sing worship songs, and I enjoy worship songs. I listen to them in my car, so I'm good. No, you're not. You're going to need the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit in your life, because he illuminates everything. He don't just illuminate the word. He illuminates your heart. He illuminates your actions. He's the discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. And we as God's people have got to begin to seek and to ask, Holy Spirit, come and shine your light in my life. Shine your light. Here's the parable of 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. How many ever read this? It says here in Matthew chapter 25, we'll just read it because there's some things you need to see in it. Beginning with verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Notice they're all virgins. Not one harlot amongst them. All virgins. Which took their lamps, which means each of the virgins had a personal lamp. They weren't 5 of them missing lamps. They all had lamps. And they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Okay, stop right there. All of them went to meet Jesus. They're all waiting on Jesus. So you see, they're not different and diverse. They're all the same, doing the same thing. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Well, what is the difference? They that were foolish took their lamps, but no oil. Now, the thing about these old lamps is that it's a wonderful device to have if you had oil, because if you didn't have oil, you couldn't keep it lit. There was no illumination there. And five of them were wise, but the wise took oil with their vessels and their lamps. And the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept. Notice this. All of them went to sleep, all 10 of them. The only difference in these 10 virgins is five of them had the ability to produce illumination, and the other five did not. That's the only difference. Now, I wonder today if we take ever how many virgins are in this room? Spiritual virgins. How many have enough light that we can illuminate the Word of God? See, you don't have to be a preacher to be able to illuminate. God will give you a revelation right where you're at. I was getting revelation way before I started preaching. How many got a Bible where you got it all marked in the margin and everything else? You got it penciled everywhere, things that God has shown you. That's illumination. But five of these were wise and five of them foolish. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, that means the darkest hour, which we're, as a society, we're in the darkest hour. There was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all of them, all 10 of them arose. All 10 of them trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." You see that the five foolish virgins, they right to the last minute, they realize we have no oil. We can't produce any light. We're not ready. Now, the point is, they were virgins. They were waiting on Jesus. They had lamps. They were like the others that slept and slumbered. They all went out to meet Jesus. It was in the last moment that they realized that what I have is not sufficient for the task. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. You know, you get the illumination. You got to pray. Brother Ike has a wonderful prayer service. He's revamped the prayers, the Tuesday night prayers, and he's instituted a Friday night prayer that I came this past week. It was powerful. How many came to that prayer? 2 hours. And I'm not trying to lift up flesh here, but I'm trying to make a point. How many noticed that Brother Ike prayed for 2 hours in English, not in tongues? Did you notice that? That's a prayer life. That's the kind of prayer life that illuminates the Word. Now, just walking around for 2 hours saying, "Thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord," you know, that's a good start. But to have something that you can articulate to God, that you can talk to Him for that amount of time, that's the real deal. And when you get to that point, all of a sudden the Scripture starts opening. Now, listen, he's hid it from the wise and the prudent. You may be in the natural, logically smart. You may be wise in the natural. He's hidden it from you. He's given it unto babes that come to Him like a little child and seek Him through prayer. Now, when he says he hid it from the wise and the prudent, it doesn't mean that he's not giving it to you. It means that he's going way back here and hiding it from you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So that you're never going to find it except you come God's way through prayer. Fasting is good. It still works. And definitely the study of the Word, but you cannot just simply read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, and never seek for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You never come to an understanding. Now I'm going to ask you a telling question. If you had a choice of one of the two, you could have the Holy Ghost or you could have the Bible. Which would you take? And as you're thinking about that, let me just remind you, Abraham had no Bible. Abel had no Bible. All of the antediluvians, they never had a Bible. No, Noah didn't have a Bible. But these men walked with God. You and I, we got a Bible. We got, all of us got five Bibles. I got 25. We got them on our phones. We got them everywhere else. And we're struggling to walk with God because we've moved away from the staples of Christianity, which is prayer and the study of the word. And so we have the letter which killeth, but we lack the spirit that gives life to the letter of the word. Amen. This is a rhema word. All of it is a rhema word. It's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. But many times you and I come to it and it's just dead letter. And we got to move past that. See, if you're going to prayer, just leave your Bible open there while you're praying. And as you're praying, just walk by and just read a verse. Don't go look up anything. Just read the one that's there. And you'll see little by little, the Holy Spirit will begin to show you things. He'll begin to open the word up and you'll be, I've read the Bible for 20 years. I've never seen that. It's by prayer. It's by accessing the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to help you. He is the leader to lead and guide you into all truth. But many times we just do it in the way we're familiar. We take our human intellect and apply it to the letter of the word. And yes, you're going to learn something, but you're going to forget it in a few days. But when the Holy Spirit sticks it in your heart, you're going to take that with you when you go. So we see then all of these virgins, they went out. But the wise answered, the foolish virgin said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, you have to understand what they're asking. The wise virgins, they've been praying, they've been fasting, they've been doing everything that was required to make sure that they had oil. And now we get to the last second, and you want to take the benefit of my 40 years of prayer and fasting because you were too lazy to do it? Not so. I said, not so. I hope you make it, but not on my dime. Amen. All of us got a mouth to pray. Come on, all of us have knees that we can get on. All of us can have the word of God. But if you don't want it, you cannot have mine. The Bible said if the righteous do, just scarcely make it in. I need everything I did just for me to get in. I got nothing else to spare. But the wise answer saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for me and you. That's plain, isn't it? But go rather to them that sell and buy it for yourself. In other words, you put in the work. Amen. You pay the price. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Here's the finality of it. And the door, boom, shut. This lets you and I know it's important. Yes, study your word. I'm a proponent of the word. I'm a proponent of study. You must study. But at the same time, you need to be beefing up your prayer life, engaged with the Holy Spirit so that he explains what it is that you're studying. This is not a history book. Just because you can remember the names and the events of things that happened in this book, that's not what this book was for. Jesus said, the word I speak unto you, it is spirit. And it is life. It is rhema. It will illuminate you. Paul spoke of a people, and it fits very aptly to the modern church, which we've made it a point. We get up and it's Sunday. Let's go to church. And we come and that's good. I'm glad you do that. And hey, you know, they're singing. Let's clap our hands. You know, we'll clap our hands. And we listen to whoever's preaching, and then we go home, but we never really entered into the Spirit at all. And Paul spoke to this, because it's always occurred in Christianity. He said, there are those that have a form of godliness, but deny the power. The power of Christianity is the Holy Spirit. And there are those that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And so we have to stay with the word. Stay with the word. It's wonderful. It's good. You should do that. But you also need to engage with the Holy Spirit and remember he is God. And then when you engage with the Holy Spirit, now you got God, the Holy Spirit, impacting the heart. You have God, the eternal logos, impacting the heart. And you make twice as much progress when you have a leader and a guider. But if you're just using the word to justify your life as it is right now, repent, lest I move the candlestick all the way out of the place. Meaning it leaves you in total darkness. Meaning all you have left is just a dead letter. Paul said this. He said, if our gospel be hid, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. That seems hard, doesn't it? Because we know this gospel is hid to most of the people on the planet. Just because you own a Bible, you don't get kudos for that. You don't get stars by your name in the book of life just for the number of Bibles that you own. You have to actually apply your heart to this Bible and let the Holy Spirit make you into a written epistle, not written on tables of stone, but on the fleshy table of the heart, so that you become a living witness for him. So that when all this stuff that's going on in society where people are twisting and manipulating the word, you're not just walking by dead letter. I don't care what somebody says about the scripture validating perverse lifestyles. I walk with him. I know him, and he never contradicts this word, never. I think of Moses' day as Moses is told by God to construct the ark, and for all that time it's under construction, people say, man, you're crazy. You're the only one that thinks like that, Noah. You're an embarrassment to us all. Look, you got your sons and daughters over there laboring or something. Look. Are you crazy, man? But Noah walked with God. Hallelujah. And he said, well, it's going to rain. He said, well, there's never been rain on the planet. There's no record of rain on the planet prior to the flood, ever. He said, what are you talking about, rain, man? We don't even know what you're talking about. There's no rain. Until it started falling. And you know what happened? Just like the 10 virgins. The door was shut. So this is an hour that you and I can still, through prayer, approach the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit could come in and help us to understand what this is saying. Help us to understand what is meant by the words in this book. If you just go to YouTube, if you just ask ChatGPT, what does this mean? You better have some discernment when that thing comes back. Because ChatGPT will not tell you the truth all the time. Because what it does, it milks all the power out of the word. The same thing that has happened to the church, it milks all the power out of the word. Here's an exercise for all of you that use ChatGPT. Ask it this question. Say, is it true that people are going to be damned and tormented in eternal punishment in hell? Give me your views. It'll come back and it'll talk about separation from God. And it'll just nice it all up so it doesn't say, it's not that bad. When in reality, there's nothing worse. And this is what all of society is doing. It's minimizing the reality of this word so that it seems okay for us to operate outside of it. Paul said, if my gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? Because the God of this world, little g, talking about Satan, because the God of this world hath blinded the minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should illuminate them. Do you remember when you first got saved? One minute, you were a stone cold sinner and you were set in your ways. This is what I'm doing. And I don't care about you talking about hell. I'm doing this. And in one moment, the illumination of the Holy Spirit hit you and you went a total different direction. That's how important this illumination is. That's how much we need the Holy Spirit. The staples of Christianity, prayer and the study of the word. And if you don't have a illness, diabetes or something like that, some fasting don't hurt. Amen. Because most of us could fast 5 days and we'd still look pretty good. Maybe better. Hallelujah. if my gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we love you so much. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the direction of your spirit. Lord, that we not go our own way, that we not satisfy ourselves with a mediocre Christian experience, but God, that we lay in, that we press in, that we move closer to you, that we let go of flesh and all of our fleshly ways, and that we press in to a greater revelation of who you are. Open our hearts up to your Holy Spirit. Father, we come to you today. We need you. I don't want to just read the word, Lord, and it not be life to me. I don't want to just read the word and it not inspire me to be more like Jesus. Come on, if you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet all over the room and you just reach out to the Lord? No matter where you are, there's a deeper place in God for you. No matter where any of us are, there's a deeper place that God wants us. And just reach out and say, Father, I come to you right now. Lord, I need this illumination. I need the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the love letter that we call the Bible. Thank you for the written word of God. But God, I need the leader. I need the teacher. I need the guide that takes me to understand all truth. Come on, just reach out. Just reach out. God is not mad at you today. He wants you to have this. It's not God's will that any should perish, that all of us might have this truth. Just reach out to the Lord, won't you? Just reach out.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for letting us hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God. Let today be the last day we deny the power of the Holy Spirit. Let today be the last day we have a form of godliness. Today we carry your spirit with us, God. If we let our flame go down and dwindle, God, just restore it, revive it, God. Let us be soldiers in the army of the Lord. Let us be a threat to the kingdom of darkness, God. Let us cause war. Today, right now, we declare your name, your power in our lives, in our hearts, God. Renew us afresh. Today, we will shake the kingdom of hell. We will stir up strife and confusion with the enemy because we will renew our minds with your word, God. You said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And we heard your word today. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And we heard it, God. And we will take this word and we will apply it today forth. God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your people. And let us go and just be mighty this day. Mighty, mighty warriors for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That was a great word. I know. Yes, amen. And let it leave with you. Don't let anything distract you from what you heard here. Let it leave with you. And let some changes be made in your life today. It only takes a little bit, but let it go and make a change with you. And a few announcements. If you haven't already give, we do need your support. We appreciate everyone who supports us, even our online community, we appreciate your support. It goes for you could hear word like this. And this week is laity. So we won't be having a main service, but our laity service will be this Wednesday. So please come out and support those who are doing laity. And following Wednesday will be a study on 2 Corinthians. Also, Brother Philip Pascal, he went home this past week, and there will be a funeral here on February 13th at 10 a.m. here at Christ Unveiled. So if you can, come out and just, it's a going away home. It's going home party. It's a celebration because he was a true brother in the Word of God. So we're going to celebrate his going home if you can make it. And with that being said, you have a blessed day. You are dismissed.